This is Bad Attitudes.
Hello, friends and strangers. Welcome to another episode of Bad Attitudes, an uninspiring podcast about disability. I'm your host, Laura. Heads up, we are talking about abortion. If that makes you uncomfortable, feel free to skip this episode and come back for the next one. Today's episode is sponsored by Beck Ross. Thank you, Beck. If you like this episode, share it and the podcast with your friends. Word of mouth is absolutely the best way to grow this podcast and our community. And please make sure you are rating and reviewing the podcast on your preferred platform. It really helps me out. If you'd like to contribute to the show, please visit ko-fi.com/badattitudespod. Your contributions help keep the pod running, and each donation gets a shout-out in a future episode. For questions, comments, or ideas, email badattitudespod@gmail.com or reach out through social media. Follow at badattitudespod on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. As always, I want to remind you that disability is not a monolith. My experience as a disabled person is going to be different from the experiences of other disabled people. I am one voice for the disabled community, but I am not the only voice. No matter what side of the issue you fall on, abortion is a difficult conversation. Or it should be. If you find talking about abortion to be easy, you're probably not thinking about it hard enough. That being said, I'm going to do my best to be as respectful as possible throughout this episode. It is a scary time to be a woman in America. It is a scary time to be a person with a uterus, a person with a vagina, a person with a cervix in America. If you aren't scared, you either aren't paying attention or you're delusional. When the news came out about the leaked opinion, I felt a wave of fear roll across the country. Some people say that we should be more concerned with the fact that someone leaked confidential government information, but I just can't seem to dredge up the energy to care about that. This was leaked because someone obviously thought it was important enough that the American public needed to be aware of it sooner rather than later. So, no, I'm not overly fussed about this leak in our government at this time. Let's be clear. The Supreme Court justices and the politicians who are in favor of banning abortion do not care about the lives of the babies they are purporting to protect. They care about money, they care about power, they care about control. That's it. They do not give a rat's ass about the lives this decision will affect. If they cared even a tiny bit, they would at least have an exception for pregnancies resulting from rape or incest. They would not force a child to carry her rapist's baby. They would not force someone to carry a pregnancy to term that could risk their health. Nothing about this decision says that they care anything about anyone. And please don't come around quoting the Bible to me. In the first place, the Bible doesn't have anything to say against abortion. In fact, there are passages that seem to support abortion. In the second place, America is not a Christian nation, no matter how many people seem to believe it to be the case. America was founded on freedom of religion, because the colonists were being persecuted for their religious beliefs in England. Obviously, that's an incredibly simplified explanation, but this is why we need better history education in our schools. But, of course, if we taught history as it actually happened, certain people might lose their stranglehold on power. And what would government be without power-crazed old white men? You might be wondering why I'm talking about abortion on a podcast about disability issues. Because abortion is a disability rights issue. I know it's unbelievable, but disabled people have sex. Disabled people get pregnant. And sometimes disabled people want to end their pregnancies. Sometimes disabled people get pregnant and realize that they are unable to carry their pregnancy safely to term. Why should a person risk their health and even their life to maybe bring a baby into the world? Because there is no guarantee that said baby would make it to term. There's no guarantee that said baby would survive after being born. There are simply no guarantees. Let's not forget that disabled people are much more susceptible to sexual assault. 83% of women with disabilities will be sexually assaulted in their lifetime. If that assault results in pregnancy, not only are you going to attempt to force a woman to carry a pregnancy that might be detrimental to her health, but you're going to force her to carry a pregnancy caused by rape. You're going to force a woman to live every day with a reminder of a horribly traumatic event for 9+ months, as well as with the reminder that this could potentially kill her? The sword of Damocles has nothing on SCOTUS. Then we come to the tricky issue of people terminating pregnancies because the fetus has markers for disability. I won't lie, the idea that some people choose to terminate a pregnancy because their baby will be disabled makes me uncomfortable. Especially given the fact that with different parents in a different time, I could very well have been one of those terminated pregnancies. However, I recognize that I do not have the right to tell anyone what choice to make when terminating a pregnancy. Their choices are their choices. A lot of the choices people make me uncomfortable, but I can't tell them their choices are wrong. It makes me uncomfortable how much some people drink. It makes me uncomfortable when families choose to have an inordinate amount of children. But I have no more right to tell those people what choices to make than I have the right to tell a person they can or cannot terminate a pregnancy. Some people don't have the resources, financial, emotional support, to raise a child with a disability, and I don't have the right to judge their decision. Now, if it was someone I knew who came to me and directly asked my opinion, I would be honest. Choosing to abort a pregnancy just because the child might be disabled makes me uncomfortable. But still, I would not say that they cannot make that decision because it is not my place. Some people want to draw parallels between vaccinations and abortion. During the height of COVID, we saw many people co-opting the "my body, my choice" sentiment, except this time they didn't want to wear masks or get vaccinated. Yes, getting vaccinated is a choice, but there is one major difference between getting vaccinated and getting an abortion. Getting vaccinated or not will have an impact on more than just the individual. Remember the measles outbreak in 2019? 1,282 cases of measles were reported in the U.S., more than any amount of measles cases since 1992, nearly 30 years. All because some parents decided their kids didn't need to be vaccinated, and they exposed hundreds or thousands of people to the virus, including highly vulnerable individuals who could not be vaccinated for medical reasons. My getting vaccinated against COVID, or anything else, affects those around me. It makes it less likely I will spread those diseases and put more vulnerable people in danger. It makes it less likely that I will get seriously ill, taking valuable medical care and equipment away from people who really need it. If I get pregnant and decide to get an abortion, it affects exactly no one else. At max, it affects two people, me and the person who got me pregnant. But it doesn't put anyone else in danger. It doesn't risk any other person's health. It isn't going to cause an outbreak of abortion. I think it's pretty obvious which side of this argument I fall on, but I'm not here to shame anyone who is pro-life. Unless they are not also advocating for universal health care, increased family leave, a higher minimum wage, affordable child care, affordable housing, comprehensive sex education, and all the things that indicate someone is actually pro-life. If you're only screaming pro-life until the baby exits the birth canal and then turn around and say, "Well, if you didn't want a baby, I guess you shouldn't have had sex," you're not really pro-life. you're not really pro-life if you think it's acceptable for a child to be forced to carry a pregnancy inflicted on her by a molester. You're not pro-life if you think it's okay that rapists have more rights than their victims. You are not pro-life if you think a woman should be forced to sacrifice her own life for a fetus. Nothing about banning abortion is pro-life. Everything about banning abortion is centered in a desire for control. Control over pregnant bodies. Control over vulnerable populations. Control over the have-nots. It is about keeping the majority of people under the oppressive heel of the powerful minority. Babies are only a blessing if you want them. And no child should be forced to come into the world unwanted. Adoption is an option, sure, if people are willing to let gay couples adopt, or single people, or transgender individuals. But just as we have people trying to ban access to abortion, we have just as many people trying to prevent LGBTQ+ people from adopting children. People who actually want a family, who actually want to raise children, are being denied that right. You can't force children into the world and in the same breath deny them the loving parents they deserve. Literally, no one is pro-abortion. Literally, no one thinks that abortion is birth control. That is a myth perpetuated by so-called pro-lifers to try and shame women for having sex. No one comes to the decision to have an abortion easily. No one should be surprised that an abortion ban would disproportionately affect those living in poverty and racial minorities. Again, that's part of keeping a subset of society under the heel of those in power. If they are forced to raise unwanted or unplanned for children, there is less opportunity for them to lift themselves out of undesirable situations. It can be done. We have plenty of examples of it being done. But it is harder, it takes longer, and they are less likely to succeed. Thankfully, this year we have midterm elections, and we can make our voices heard. If you are at least 18 or will be 18 by election day, I implore you to register and make plans to vote this November. We must rid our government of those who would strip our rights from us. No, we cannot elect Supreme Court justices, but we can elect candidates to our state and federal legislatures who will protect us if, when, Roe v. Wade is overturned. Something like 13 states already have measures in place to make getting or providing an abortion a felony once Roe v. Wade is overturned. My state, North Carolina, is not one of them, but I'm under no illusion about the governing bodies in my state. Honestly, I was surprised we don't have a law on the books that would go into effect when Roe v. Wade is overturned. Abortion has been around forever, whether it was done with herbs or in a back alley or in a safe medical environment, it's not going to go away. Hundreds have said this in as many ways, but it's true. You can't ban abortions. You can only ban safe abortions. By ripping away the protections of Roe v. Wade, you are forcing people back into those back alleys or into doing an at-home abortion, and people will die. How does this jibe with the idea that banning abortion is pro-life? I can't do much, but I can use my voice. I can make my little podcast. I can create. I am donating a portion of the sales from the abortion rights merch in my Etsy shop to Keep Our Clinics. Keep Our Clinics works to keep independent clinics in small towns, rural areas, and politically hostile states open. And as these clinics provide 3 out of every 5 abortions, they are more vital than ever. You can learn more about their mission at keeparclinics.org, and you can visit my shop at fairynerdy.etsy.com. I will have links to both in the episode description. I know this was a heavy episode, but I felt it was important to do. Abortion isn't just a women's issue. It's an everybody issue. It affects everyone. So again, I implore you to register to vote if you are not, and to vote in this year's midterm elections. We have power in our voices, and we need to make them heard. If you're interested in learning more about disability and other marginalized groups, I'd like to suggest the podcast Outcast. Outcast is a podcast about being multiply marginalized, specifically about queerness, disability, neurodivergence, mental health, and sometimes other stuff. That's out_cast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Let me know if you listen and tell me what you think. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you in the next one.